Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Business update with Gule Tumfupi on Kaya 959.
She brings you Kaya Biz Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. Google, this weekend, I was actually in Durban and I had to go replace some remote batteries for like gates and garages. And when I went there, there were two batteries that were available. It was Duracell and the other one was Energizer, right? Now, I remember, obviously, the Energizer Bunny ad when I was younger. But I also remember the Duracell ads. And they're pretty much both priced equally the same. And I understand that these two companies are in court currently. What's that about?
This one is very interesting because, as you mentioned, it does remind us of our childhood and the nostalgia of actually watching the Energizer Bunny ads. Now, this is where the issue of contention lies, comparative marketing. It's not the first time that we've seen an advert of this nature, but essentially Duracell is calling out Energizer for essentially using an advert and trying to, influence the market by letting them believe that the Energizer Max batteries outlast Duracell Power Boost batteries by at least 10%. Much like we've seen in our childhood, there's actually a comparison between the two bunnies and which one using a different battery, and that in itself, Duracell has come forward and taken Energizer to a court in Manhattan, essentially saying that this is misleading to the public and actually could reduce their level of goodwill and brand equity in the market. Now, comparative marketing is not something new, Cesar. You might recall that we've seen this between major brands right across the world, whether it's Nike versus Reebok, Burger King versus McDonald's, or even the likes of Coca-Cola versus Pepsi when it comes to comparing their brands. Vehicles have also done this with the likes of BMW beating the Benz with the advert that was shot in Chapman's Peak, if I'm not mistaken. So this does bring about, I guess, a different dynamic to comparative marketing, which typically does make it a heightened level of awareness and often add some excitement to the advertising industry. But when businesses do take this to court, it does come with some financial consequences that come at the expense of the one who might lose the case. So no clarity just yet as to where this one will go, but I think we'll definitely keep an eye on it just to take a look at whose impact or valuation will also see a negative impact.
Over a decade and a half ago, MTN came through MTN Zakhele, I think. And then more recently, they tried to introduce Zakhele Futhi. You've covered this on your show. It turns out Zakhele Futhi has come to the end of the road. What happened there?
This is actually an interesting development around MTN Zakhele Futhi. As you've correctly stated, this was part of a broad-based black economic empowerment scheme, essentially allowing us as black South Africans to own a stake in the business at a discounted cost. Now, essentially, typically in the market, because there aren't a lot of South Africans who are able to coop up or, I guess, raise enough capital to buy a big enough stake in the business, there's a term used called vendor financing. So they'd open up to the public, offer shares at a discounted rate, and the balance of that would then be funded by commercial banks, investment institutions, and asset managers. Now, that's the contentious issue, essentially, that over time, as the dividends from MTN as the main brand are paid out, that these dividends are paid off to the MTN Zakhele Futhi investors, the black investors, and at the same time paying off the necessary debt from the banking partners. What happened with Zakhele Futhi is the fact that it was launched in 2016 and was meant to wind down in November 2024. But at the time, MTN's share price had taken a significant knock. You might recall post the pandemic into 2022, this particular business was plagued by ongoing challenges. Not only load shedding here in South Africa, which required increased capital investment into their towers, infrastructure in order to maintain their network, but also the currency devaluations that they experienced in Nigeria. All of that meant lower profits for MTN as a group, no dividends being paid out. And as a result, MTN Zakhele Futhi shareholders not seeing growth in their dividends. From what we understand now, the board and the directors have now decided to actually wind it up after initially extending the MTN Zakhele Futhi investment by 3 years. It was meant to end in November 2027, but there are concerns that given the macroeconomic climate, the ongoing volatility in the market, now would be a safer time for them to actually wind down this particular investment. So still going to run the numbers in terms of the valuations that shareholders would be getting. But from what we understand, they might have bought the share at 20 Rand a piece, now likely going to receive a dividend of at least 18 Rand as profit on their share after the initial investment. So not too bad, but of course, lots of dynamics that need to be measured in terms of costs, fees, and the necessary taxes that would need to be paid.
And then what are the markets looking like?
JSE All Share Index was closed yesterday, but internationally markets did do incredibly well. We'll open up from 95,324 points today for the All Share Index. 1782 is where we trade into the US dollar. We're 24.19 to the British pound and now at 20.60 against the euro.
Thank you very much. She brings you Kaya Biz, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Business update with Gulet Ufopi on Kaya 959. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.